Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Bent Vedermeyer.
Hallelujah. It's great to worship the Lord together with you. We learn one thing here in England, that in England you are very good worshippers. Yeah, you are. And it's always a blessing to come in a place like this where people are worshiping God in the spirit and in the truth, of course. And it's not always easy to do things in the spirit, is it? At least we make things very complicated sometimes. But when you worship God in the spirit, you worship Him from your heart. Isn't that so? Because spirit, your heart, is more or less the same. And this is what Jesus was working very hard with His disciples. To teach them how to live a life from their heart and not from their head. And I guess that all of us have that experience. That whenever we start to get too much controlled from our mind and trying to figure out everything that is to take place and try to figure out how we're going to solve this thing, how we're going to communicate with these people, how we're going to be able to do it, then it doesn't really work. But immediately when you connect your heart, then things start to flow. And that's why I think it's very, very important to protect our heart. And also to develop the ability that God actually has given us to communicate and to move things from our hearts. And I really believe that one of the reasons He wants us to have worship in the beginning of a service is, of course, He loves our worship. And He enjoys when you and I express our heart to Him. But I think also He wants that because He wants to teach us how to be people of the spirit, people of the heart. I will not talk about this morning. I just was thinking about it. So I have a word for you. And it came to me actually this morning. And I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 3 to verse 7. And you know, both 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul is writing to his son Timothy. I heard one preacher, he misunderstood the whole thing. He thought Paul was married with Silas and then they had a son, Timothy. But that's not true. So he was his spiritual son. And here it says, share in suffering. As a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuit, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Now, isn't that a good promise? So let's pray together once more. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we can be together here in this hall in Scarborough. And I thank you for everyone that is here. And I thank you for the time of worship we had. And I thank that it's true what it says in the scripture, that when we gather together in your name, then you are present. And you are present here through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are God. I thank you that you are the resurrection power. I thank you that you are the teacher, the guide, that leads us into the whole truth. And I thank you that you are the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. And I just ask you for the grace and the ability to be able to share the word this morning so that my friends here can receive it. And so that Jesus Christ will be glorified. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If we would have read the two first verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we would read how Paul is encouraging Timothy to be strong in the grace of God. How many loves the grace of God? Amen, amen. I know it's Sunday morning, but how many really loves and enjoys the grace of God? Yes. And I intend to speak a little about the grace and to speak about what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to say to us for this portion of Scripture. And sometimes I hear Christians, and I assume most of us are confessing Christians here this morning, and sometimes I hear Christians talk about grace, and I wonder whether we belong to the same religion or not. Now, I know that's not the case here in Scarborough, because I think you all know what grace is and everything that. But sometimes I hear people say, you know, because of the grace, we don't actually have to do anything. We can just be as we are, and we don't need to change because of His grace. And I never really understood that, because I never learned to know God like that. I actually, when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I thought it was a pretty tough ride, especially in the beginning. Because I realized that I was not supposed to stay the same anymore. And especially after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I received the Spirit of grace in a greater portion in my life, I started to realize that now it's impossible to be the same. But actually, I had to change. And that change just didn't happen within a day. But it seems like I had somebody that just had moved in to my life, and he would not let me alone. And I'm not talking about your wife or your husband now. But you know as well as I know that God gives you grace and He gives you a good wife and a good husband. Because you will not be able to stay the same, even if you work hard to try to, but you cannot, after you have somebody else that you live together with. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. And it's the same with the Spirit of grace. And I believe there is a reason why you read those two verses together with the verses that I has read for you. Because I believe that Paul is giving instruction to Timothy and kind of explaining for him what the grace will do in your life. And how the outworking of the grace will be in your life and in your behavior. And I kind of like those three examples that Paul is using here. And the first example he's using the example of a soldier. And you can smile anyway. And I know that was the reason he used that example. Of course, Paul, he knew what a soldier was. And Paul, he knew the characteristic of a soldier. And I think if Paul is using that as an example for Timothy and for you and me, it's worth thinking about. So what is the special with a soldier? Now, first of all, one of the first major things you learn as a soldier, especially if you're in war, you learn to define who is the enemy. And I believe it's very, very important for you and me as Christians to define who is the enemy, because there is an enemy. And we know, because the Bible says the enemy is not in flesh or blood. But the enemy, of course, it's the devil, and you know that. And I will not spend too much time talking about him this morning. We already know that he's defeated. And we know that Jesus Christ, he has won the victory over him. But at the same time, we know that there is still things going on in this world that, you know, it's not really the will of God. And we also know that there might be things going on in our own lives that is not really the will of God. And I guess most of us, sometimes we say, you know, I have a battle in my life. I'm going through a hardship in my life. I don't know what's happening. And sometimes we use the expression, I have attacks on my life. And if you were there yesterday, we talked about it a little bit. And sometimes we are blaming the devil for too much things. Because I used an example, if you get an invoice in your letterbox, you can't not blame the devil for it. Because that's a consequence of a decision you made maybe 1 month earlier. And you shouldn't do like I've done sometimes, did in the past, before I had this fantastic revelation, and start attacking back the devil and the enemy territory because of the invoice. You know, that's not how it works. Because that's just a consequence of sometimes our stupidity. But there is an enemy. And we are soldiers. And we are in a war. And the Bible says we ought to be good soldiers. And what is a good soldier? A good soldier is a skilled person. It's a person that knows what he's doing. It's a person that knows what he's involved in. He knows his enemy. He also knows his weapons. Now we have weapons, and the Bible talks very much about it. We have weapons of warfare. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith. We have the prayer weapon. Worship is a weapon. And with all those weapons, it's possible for us to fight a good fight. And the reason why it's a good fight is because we know that somebody already defeated the enemy, as we said before. So actually, a soldier that is a good soldier, I think he is a happy soldier. Because he knows he is on the winning side. One thing that I love about United Kingdom is Salvation Army. Don't look at me like that now. I read about William Booth, and you heard about him probably as well. And you know, maybe I don't agree with all the theology and all that stuff. I don't know where they are now, to be honest. But I know what they've done. Because you know what they did from London, the headquarters. I think the headquarters was there. They sent out missionaries to Sweden, to Scandinavia. And I met some of those old missionaries, and most of them were actually unmarried ladies. And I met some of them in Sweden. And they told me how it worked. And I just loved this. They had to tell the headquarters that we believe we have a calling from God. We want to serve in this army, the Salvation Army. And they had to give all the details and all the stuff. And they had to give promises that they would live by faith and that they will be faithful to the end and all those things. And then one day, they received a letter in the letterbox. And in that letter it says where they were supposed to go and whom together they were supposed to go with. And then they took off. And they didn't have a clue where they ended up. I mean, you can just imagine in the beginning of last century, ending up in Sweden. Now, Sweden is not a bad place, it's a good place, but I tell you, it's even more rough than in England back then. And the Swedes were not very, maybe very welcoming, but you see, those young ladies, they came because they had given a promise. They wanted to be a good soldier in the Salvation Army. And what they did, they said, we opened up fire. Now, I don't know. Now, and it wasn't what we call friendly fire. You know, I hate the expression friendly fire when somebody dies in the friendly fire out in Afghanistan. It's terrible. Because it means that some of the friends killed them. You know, that was not, sometimes, unfortunately, that can happen in church circles, but we'll not talk about that now. But you know, they said, those ladies, they said, we opened up fire. And I asked, what do you mean? How do you open up fire? Well, we took the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we walked out and we preached. And people listened, and some threw tomatoes at us, and some, there were probably more potatoes than tomatoes because it was in Sweden. And we endured some persecution, but in the end, we broke through. And we planted a Salvation Army church in that place. And a lot of people received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, there was something in that that I like. Because they were willing to be under command. They were willing to obey. And they were willing to lay down their lives. Now, a soldier in the army, and I'm sure we have soldiers in here, and you are in the army, then you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you've been a soldier in the army. A soldier is always willing to lay down his life for his friends. Now, if you're a good soldier, you are sold out totally to sacrifice even to death for the others. Now, and Jesus, of course, is talking about this. He says, the greatest friend of them all, he lays down his life for his friends. That is what real friendship is. I saw this, I think it was ITV. I mean, I don't look at TV very much, but I saw this program, and it was called, I think, The Unknown Hero, or Unspoken Hero. The Pride of Britain, it was called, actually. I think it's every year. You know better. I'm Swedish. I don't know, right? But The Pride of Britain, it was like a celebration of people, not celebrities, but people who have done something significant to save other people's life or to change circumstances, something like that. I saw it last year. I think it was in the fall last year. And I actually, I was weeping when I saw some of it. There was one soldier, I think he was 24 years old. He was a commander in the war in Afghanistan. And they took him forward. He was very shy, actually. He hardly wanted to stay on the stage. And I think this is a direct transmit program, so people are watching from all over England, I guess, or United Kingdom. But he came forward, and they presented him as one of those real heroes. And they asked him, tell us what happened. And together with him, there was like, I think it was 12 other soldiers who actually, those lives have been saved because of this man. And this guy told this unbelievable story. They were out doing some work, you know, on the battlefield in Afghanistan. And suddenly, when they were walking together, there was one of those grenades that was unsecured and was just about to explode. And this soldier, I think his name was Matthew, he had a rucksack and something in front of his body. And when he saw that, he knew, because it happened just in the middle, it was in the center of where we were standing. He knew if this takes off, 12 of us will die. And within a second, he made a choice. And he threw himself on the grenade. And he threw himself in such a way so the rucksack, the thing he has on the back, I think it's rucksack, he landed with a rucksack in the back towards the grenade. And he didn't die. He only broke a couple of ribs and of course had some more injuries. But he saved 12 other soldiers. And he was standing there and he was not like standing, yes, I'm a hero, look at me. No, he was almost shy. And the 12 other soldiers were standing there and they were weeping, you know, and they interviewed them as well and said, yeah, he saved our life. It's an amazing soldier. And when I saw that, of course I think immediately about you and us. You know, and because we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And we are supposed to be good soldiers. And I think we are. And you know, it is such a privilege for us to be in that army because we know that the friendship we have and the friendship you have with others is so strong. And since we are aiming to become more Christ-like, actually, this thing is more and more developed in us so that actually you and I, we are willing to lay down our lives for each other. Now, I don't know if you appreciate that, but I really love it. And I think this is one of the most significant thing and characteristic that a good soldier has. And I think this is one of the things that Paul was talking about when it comes to Timothy. And I think it's one of the things he wanted to say when he talked about be stronger in the grace of God. And you know, I learned about the grace of God, that the grace of God does not make you passive. If the grace of God that you have in your life, or the understanding of the grace of God that you have, makes you a passive Christian, then I'm very happy to tell you that that is not the grace of God. Because the grace of God in your life, this is the foundation you have to lay down your life for somebody else. This is the foundation you have to devote your life to become somebody on fire, willing to make a difference, not only for yourself, but for the multitudes of people in this region. Now that is the real grace. And we said yesterday, I was talking about the mustard seed. And I said that there was a discussion already in the beginning of Christianity whether you had to do something if you have faith. James is addressing that issue. And he's saying very straight on, straightforward. He says, well, show me your faith without deeds. Faith without deeds is dead. He even says, faith without works is like a human being without the spirit. It means there's no life. There's nothing. But faith always demands action. And grace works, of course, in love. Grace and faith and love is the same. Nothing works without it. A soldier is willing to take an order. I remember when I was working with him, we call it the mission school. We ran it a couple of months every summer in Sweden when I was working in the ministry there. And we were so inspired by this Salvation Army thing. So we we decided we're going to do the same. And it was a bit scary for the people who was in this mission school. The setup was this. We did 1 month training, and then we sent them out on a mission field. And it was the pioneering places we sent them to. And most of them were younger people, but not under 18 or so, but they were like young people or just newly married people. So we were preaching our heart out and teaching everything we could to them for 1 month. And then we explained to them, now, very soon you're going to receive a letter. And in that letter, it's going to define where you will spend the rest 8 weeks. And you're going to go there, and you're going to do exactly what we say. And you know, the Swedish young people, sometimes they're not used to take commands. Beyond the commands, they can, oh, I don't want to go there. And we have to tell them, look, you join this mission school, so you better do what we say. And they said, okay, we'll do it. And then we had these gray letters, like, it looks like, or gray-brown letters, look like the thing you have in a military service, you know. And we tried to write it as, you know, how to say, sincere as possible. It was not like, hallelujah, now you're happy to go. No, it was like, you will go there. And then we wrote the name of the town, the name of the city, the name of the nation. And then we gave them the working order. You will be under the command of this leader. And then you will do this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Preach. Cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick. Help the poor. Start the church. We learned from the Salvation Army. This is what they did. So we gathered. We had like 200 people in that school, mission school. So we had a lot of teams, maybe 10, 15 teams we had together. And I remember, because I was like the commander there of those teams, and I had to, we had this hall, you know, and they were sitting there, ready, a little bit nervous, because they had received a letter. And then you walked up, you know, like, and said, soldiers, are you ready? Yes, sir. And it was like, and then we gave them the final instruction before we were ready to leave. And you know, I must be honest, I mean, I just loved it. I mean, I didn't stand there shouting and dancing hallelujah. I was like, you know. And then I said, now you go, and we will visit you at one occasion. We will go down to your place. We'll gather everyone. We have a new headquarters down in Prague in Czech Republic. And then you will come there, and we will have some time together, and you will give a report of what was have happened during those 8 weeks. Is that okay? Yes, sir. And then we send them out, and we saw too that they had a local as well in the different places they went to. And those guys, they were like young people, you know, most of them. And we had some phone contact, and they just find out that they were surviving, they had food and everything, you know. So take care. You need to take care of soldiers. Napoleon always did. That's why they liked him. I know you didn't like him too much. That's another sermon. You have to take care of your soldiers. So, and then I remember we went down and we met all those teams coming together. And I mean, this is one of the really exciting moments in my life. You know, they came. They looked a little dirty, a little hungry maybe, and haven't washed their clothes for some time. And they came together, and we were sitting together, and I start hearing those stories. They've seen miracles, signs, and wonders. They had breaking through there and there and there. We continued the whole day, and they gave their field reports, you know, and I was just sitting there, and I was weeping, and I was, well, this is fantastic. This is what I believe. This is like a bit of the army of the Lord that God is talking about. And I still meet people today from those days, you know, and they said, you know, we are forever thankful for what took place there because we learned something. We learned that it's good to be under command. We learned that when you do what God tells you to do, and when you are willing to go where God tells you to go, and you are willing to give out what God has given to you, then we'll know this is life. This is life changing. You see, a soldier, He has that in his life. And he's loyal to death. To his commander. And who is your commander? His name is Jesus. You know, some people tell me, I'm not willing to go to Afghanistan or Libya or whatever. I might die. I had some people coming saying that. And I said, so what? Now don't look at me like that. It's Sunday morning. We are celebrating Jesus. We are happy soldiers. Sometimes it sounds like people are surprised when we are sending down soldiers to Afghanistan and soldiers die. It's like, how could that happen? Well, it's war. They paid with their life. Now, I'm not saying you will die. Well, one day you will die for sure. That's not a prophecy. That's fact. You know, sometimes, especially in Western Europe, when you talk about death, it's like death doesn't exist. And we like to sing those songs, we're going to live forever, and we forget the fact that one day we will die, actually, and then we'll go to heaven. But before that happens, you will die. I mean, I don't think you will end up like Enoch. He's walking out one day, and then they didn't see him because God took him home. I don't think you will end up that way. I believe one day you will die. The question is how you will die. No, this is a very depressing sermon right now. I know, and I feel like, bruh. I like to talk about this. You know, one of the worst places I can imagine to die in is... I'm thinking about that actually every time I'm sitting in front of TV. And I don't want to spend a lot of time in front of TV, but I'm thinking, what a terrible place to die in front of TV. And you are watching this. I never seen it, but I heard about it. It's called Condemnation Street, something like that. You are sitting watching the last episode, finally, of the Condemnation Street. And then you give up your breath. And you go to the glory. And then you meet Jesus. And Jesus asks you, what have you done? And the last thing you did was sitting and having your feet up and drinking a pint of beer in front of Condemnation Street. Now, let that not happen to any Christian. And I learned this, it's just as close to heaven from Tripoli in Libya as from Scarborough. So it doesn't really matter where you die. You will die one day, but we are not afraid of death, are we? You know, something has happened with you and me when we got saved, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And 15. You know what it says there? Jesus, he has delivered us once and for all from this bondage that has kept us in captivity over the years, which is called the spirit of fear of death. Now you are free from that fear. So you can actually look at the future. You can look at death with a smile on a face. Because we know that is no longer our enemy. We are not afraid of it. So we are not motivated by that anymore. We are motivated by another force in this universe. And the name of that force is faith and love and grace. I've studied psychology. I'm not a shrink or something like that, but I... And I was really excited one day when I read what the latest, one of the latest research results is when it comes to behaviorism. It's like this, you know, the school of psychology where you try to figure out why people are doing what they are doing. It's very interesting, actually. It's not dangerous to read about it either. I thought it was very amusing. We are not talking about Freud and Jung and those guys that only explain what they have in their flesh. It's not interesting to read it. But those guys, they have done some really serious research, and they've been studying in different continents of the world, I think in all continents of the world, and different categories of people, because they wanted to find out, what is the number one motivating force? Why are people doing like they're doing? Why is an alcoholic? Why is Bill Gates the richest man in the world? Maybe second now, the Swedish guy, Ingvar Kamprad, IKEA founder, is maybe richer now, I don't know. Or maybe he's on second now, doesn't matter. He's Swedish, actually, but it doesn't matter. Why is he the richest man in the world? Why is person doing like that? Why are somebody becoming a burglar? Why? And actually, what they came to the conclusion in this research, that the number one reason in all culture, the motivating force among all those people, is fear. And the fear of death. The fear of dying. When I read that, I couldn't help but shouting, hallelujah. Because I thought that was one of the best things I read for a long time. Because my Bible says we are not in that category anymore. So it means if they are doing that because of bondage, because of what they are afraid of, they try to build up protection walls around the reality, you and I, we don't need to do that anymore. That means that we are free to take a command. That means that we are free to do whatever He tells us to do. That means that you are a free person. Well, I think it's good news. The second person, the second character he talks about is the athlete. He says we are to fight according to the rules. We are to compete according to the rules. What is an athlete? He is disciplined. He has self-control. He's very focused. And he's goal-oriented. An athlete, as I know them, they are 100% person. If you're not 100% person, you will never be a successful athlete. Now, the grace of God, which Paul was talking about, will enable you to be 100% person. To be a focused person. To be a goal-oriented person. You know, there's sometimes in Christian circles, I'm sure you agree with me about that. Sometimes even minister says, you know, it doesn't really matter. We just do something and then something happens and then probably God show up and nobody understands really what the Spirit of God doing anyway. Because the Spirit of God is like the wind and He blows wherever He wants. I told you Friday night, that's not true. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. It says like the man who is born by the Spirit is like a wind. Now, and it might be that he acts and behaves a bit mysterious when you are led and guided by the Holy Spirit. But again, as I said Friday night, I don't think that the Holy Spirit will just cause you to do a lot of stuff that doesn't lead to anything. I say that again. I don't think that the Holy Spirit will make you doing a lot of things that will not lead you to anything. And you know, sometimes when you say that in some charismatic circles, they say, oh, you are trying to control what God wants to do. No, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to control you so that you do what God wants you to do. Now, that is a totally different thing. I believe in absolute Christian freedom. I believe we need to be free as birds. Maybe even more free than birds. But I believe also we need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I can never identify myself with the Holy Spirit that will tell the body of Christ, while the whole world is going to hell, that tell the body of Christ, oh, just enjoy His presence now. Lay down on the floor and soak here for 2 hours and just feel good. And then you walk out and you will have a nice week. And then you come back to next week, 2 hours, and you lie down on the floor and you soak and fall asleep. It doesn't matter because you're in the grace. And just continue like that until Jesus come back. Now, that's not the Christianity that I'm sorry, I'm looking a little bit angry now. That's not the Christianity that I've learned from the Bible. The Christianity that I learned from the Bible is that the disciples went out and they changed this world, and there was rumors about them. People were fearful of them because they were troublesome. They came someday and they turned things upside down, and they were accused of turning the whole world upside down in some occasions. Now, of course, the accusations was not always done and made in a very nice manner. They were negative against them. They had enemies. I remember when we worked with a pioneering church in the beginning of the 80s, middle of the 80s, end of the 80s. We had so much persecution in that church because we spoke out against certain things. We said this and this and this. Not everybody liked it. And what happened was, they started writing things about us in the newspaper. Not only in one newspaper, but in most of the newspapers in Sweden. And if you happened to come from that church, and your neighbors knew it, they hardly wanted to talk to you. Now that was not so nice. And then we had some people coming, I think from America or something, and they said to us, you must do something wrong, because you are persecuted. We said, what do you mean? Yeah, you must have favor. What do you mean? Yeah, the Bible says you must have favor. Everybody must like you. I said, everybody didn't like Jesus. Jesus was persecuted, wasn't it? Wasn't it? And Jesus gave a promise. Just as they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. We love all the promises, don't we? All the promises has is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Since they persecute you, me, they're going to persecute you. So how is it to be persecuted? You know, to be persecuted is not a nice feeling. But at the same time, if you know you're in the will of God, so what? I said, so what? The persecuted churches in China or in Middle East area and all those places, I mean, they don't really enjoy being persecuted, being thrown into jail, and some of them being executed because of their faith. They don't rejoice over that, but you see, they understand this is a sign that we are doing something for God. This is a sign that we are doing something that the devil considers worth persecuting. But for us in the West and us here in England, sometimes that is like an odd thought and we think this is a different gospel. No, it's not a different gospel. You know, when persecution comes against us, that's when we need to learn to fight. That's when we need to be a good soldier in Christ Jesus with a happy smile on our face, and we can go on and we just continue. That's when what we say in America, the rubber hits the road, reality hits us. But then it's a question of, are we really willing then to do what the Bible says? Are we willing to lay down our life? Are we willing to lay down our life for each other when somebody gets persecuted in our church? Or are we sitting discussing in our prayer groups wondering, why is that happening? There must be a reason. Maybe his mother is in sin, or his father is in sin, or his dog has run away, something like that. Something, we must have an explanation of this. Now, you know, when things like that happen, and I can tell you, It will happen. More and more. It's a good prophecy, isn't it? It will happen. It says in the Bible, it's going to get tougher, going to get darker. At the same time, the love and the light and the grace, 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 the grace. The grace is going to work harder in your and my life. And it's going to work harder through your and my life. Because the grace will help us to do the impossible. It will help us to continue on the path we have started on. You know, somebody who is an athlete, if he's a long distance runner, he has to run 42 kilometers. That's a long, I've done it. That's a long run. And you cannot just run 10 kilometers and then quit. You need to continue, and you need to have persistence. You need to be disciplined. You need to have a focus in your life. You need to be a 100% person. And maybe that sounds tough. But you see, by His grace, we are that. And it's possible that when you live from your heart, when you live from your spirit, then you are like that. The last point, the hard-working farmer. I've never been a farmer, but I always liked them. There's something with farmers that makes me feel secure. At least if they're good farmers. You sit around, I'm invited sometimes to a farmer's house. When you're out preaching, you sit and have lunch together with a farmer. It's just something I'm... safety and security there. And most of the time the farmer is like, he's not talking too much. Because he went up 5 o'clock in the morning and was working on the field. And then he has breakfast 2 times a day because the first breakfast is 5:15 and the second breakfast is 8:30. And then he's working all day long, especially when it's the season for hard work. But very seldom you hear them complain. And I think that what Paul is saying there, when he's talking about the farmer, he wanted Timothy to understand that his grace in your life will not make you a lazy person. He will make you a hardworking person. Actually, the grace in you will make you active. The grace in you will make you, enable you to do this a little extra. Not only for yourself, but for others. And that's why I think it's so wonderful when you think about it. Because we talked today, this weekend, not today, but yesterday, we talked about that it's possible to do the impossible. Amen? God is the God of the impossible. And of course, since you and I, we have His faith, and we have His grace, and we have this motivating force on the inside of us, it means that actually, to do the impossible means that you and I, we are called to do extraordinary things in this world. And you know, when you study Christian so-called heroes, when you study Christian people who has really made a difference in their generation, most of those people, they were exactly what Paul was telling Timothy. They were good fighters. They were under command. They were willing to go wherever God told them to go. They were willing to take the faith they had and not just keep it to themselves, but give it out in this world, no matter what the cost was. And they were 100% persons. They were focused. And they were hard workers. In the charismatic circles, you know that more than me probably, sometimes there is misunderstanding. And they think that, I hear that, if we only come together and we sing long enough and we pray long enough and we just hope that something will happen, then it will happen. That never happened. What I love, what I heard from this church here, well, you were there yesterday, street angels. I love that. That is an expression. I mean, I think that's cool. You even leave a great charismatic service and you go down in a freezing cold just to be with sinners, to give them hope. That is an expression of what I'm talking about. And the church here in England, church that you and I are part of, I believe the grace has been working so much with us. And I believe that we already have so much that now we come to a point when it's, if we don't give it out, it's going to explode. And I believe that a new movement, if you say so, will come. I said that last night. I believe a new pioneering movement will come. God is raising up new pioneer workers here. And we prayed for some of you yesterday. I can't get rid of it. God is raising up new pioneer workers, people who are actually going to make some significant things that will make difference. And maybe when you die a long time from now, they will start to write about you, because nobody really knew about your name or everything fantastic you did, because you never had the time to promote it, because you were so busy doing it. But you know what? When you come to the end of your life and you look back, I don't know if you've ever been thinking about it. What you wanted to be written on your... No, I'm terrible now. I don't know why I'm preaching like this. It's like, I'm not having near-death experience anything like this up here in Scarborough, but... You know, sometimes just reality hits you, doesn't it? I've been thinking, what do you want to be written on your tombstone? He was a man of peace and he didn't disturb anyone. Or he enjoyed TV. Or I seen some of the you know, where you have in Sweden, I don't think you have it here in England, but in Sweden, you know, when somebody dies, you have a arbitrary. I'm sorry, I didn't know that word. Arbitrary. Where, you know, most of the time, before it was always a cross. But nowadays, you have, some have a dog, some have a car. There's nothing wrong with dogs, but don't have it on the arbitrary. Some have a car, some have a ship, or some, you know, horse, or something like that. And I think it's disgusting. I mean, who want to be remembered as a dog lover? If that's the only remembrance you have about you, wouldn't that be terrible, Dave? The only thing we remember is your terrier. Now, what kind of life is that? Now, that will not be the fact. You don't even want to show around with that terrier on the conference, I know that. But what if the only thing they will remember about you, oh, that's a guy with a terrier, great. Let's put that in the arbitrary. A terrier. No. People remember you because you made a difference in your life. Because You lay down your life for many people, for younger people. And you became a tremendous teacher, a minister in a healing thing. That sounds good. So what do you want to be remembered for? Well, it depends on the choices you make. I believe so. There is always different ways, different... Like this guy here, I like... Oh, yeah, the Niger guy. Niger. I don't even know the English name. You don't even know where it is. It's a nation called Niger. Niger. Niger is French. Do you speak French? You get more now. Voila. You need Arabic as well. Yalla, yalla. Means hurry, hurry. Praise God. Look, did you think about Rob? Rob. 50 years from now. 60. 70, 80 years from now. On your tombstone. This guy, he made a difference. In Niger. Not yet. Isn't that great? It's okay to talk like this on Sunday morning, isn't it? You know what I believe? I believe God's grace want to do work here this morning. And I believe we all should close our eyes. Let's close your eyes and bow your head, please. Father, I thank you. Thank you for these people here. Thank you for the work that you have started in this place. Thank you that there are so great plans that you have. Thank you for every individual here. Thank you that you have faith. And you have released your faith towards these people. And I thank you that it's possible for us to respond. To make decisions. That we will be 100% people. We will stay focused. We will be good soldiers. We'll be hard workers. We will not quit, but we'll continue. Because we're pressing forward, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the obstacles are, we press forward because we know that it's possible, because of your grace, to finish our race, to receive the crown, and to hear your voice. Well done, you good and faithful servant. If you are here, because I don't know everyone that are here, you might be here and you never received Jesus 100% fully in your life. You're not saved. Maybe you're a religious person. And when I say religious person, it means you agree something in your head, but you don't have heart relationship with God. Now the Bible says very clearly that Jesus died for us on the cross and he took all our sins and iniquities on himself so that we will be free. And that is the grace that God has expressed to us so that when we receive Jesus, his grace will save us and he will restore us and something will happen in our life, we become new. And after that, we will be able to do a lot of wonderful things for his kingdom. But most of all, he wants you to come to him because he loves you. And if you are in that situation here this morning, and you say, yes, I want to receive Jesus. I want you to lift one hand so I can see it. And I'd like to pray for you. Now, I will not push anyone to do it, but if you are here and you want to receive Jesus, just lift one hand so I can see it. If there is anyone. Is there anyone? Is that you? You want to receive Jesus? Anybody else? Anybody else? Do you want to come to me here? Just come. If there's anyone else, you are welcome to come. What's your name?
Sheena.
Sheena. We just pray together then. Is that okay? Just hold my hands. Just pray after me. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe you died for me on the cross.
I believe you died for me on the cross.
I believe you took my sins on the cross.
I believe you took my sins on the cross.
You're alive today.
You are alive today.
Jesus, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I am a sinner.
I need forgiveness.
I do need forgiveness.
I open my heart to you.
I open my heart to you.
And I receive you.
And I receive you.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
I want to follow you.
I want to follow you.
The rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Yes, sit down with your eyes closed, please. If you are here and you say in your heart, yes, I want to make that decision this morning. I want to be 100% person. I want to be a good soldier. I will stay focused. I will finish my race. I'm not going to quit. Maybe you've been in a situation where you've been kind of, I'm so tired of this. I don't know, you know. But you say, yes, this is what I want because it's in my heart. And you want to renew your commitment to Him. And it is a bit dangerous to respond to that because God's going to speak to you. And He's going to actually require that you make some changes in your life. So I'm not talking to you that already are like in 100% go for God, but I'm talking to you that has been slipping forth and back for a while. I will not ask you to come forward, we don't have time for that, but I would like you to respond. You say, yes, I want to renew my commitment in a new, fresh way this morning. Then just lift your hand and I can see it. Are in that situation. Just stand up. Don't come in, but just stand up where you are. Stand up. And lift both hands to heaven right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you for each and one of those people that stands up right now. Thank you for your plan and your purpose for their lives. And I thank you most of all for the harvest and the reward that will come as a consequence of them obeying you, of them renewing their covenant and their dedication and devotion to you. I just pray, Holy Spirit, Spirit of grace, I pray that you will come upon them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that those things that have kept them back, fears, unbeliefs, compromises, I pray that the change of those things will fall off right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I just bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you with much fruit and with much harvest in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. In the name of Jesus. 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 Can I ask you, brother drum player, can you just start playing? Just 1 minute. We have 1 minute left. Just start playing marches. You know the march drum, huh? Let's do that a little while. Good. You know what this is? This is a sign. It's a sound. It's a declaration that it's time to start marching. It's time to leave where you have been. It's time to rise up and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's time not to play church anymore. It's time to see further, to look beyond. It's time to break out from what is, whatever, your comfortability, where you are limited, where you have allowed limitation in your life. Thank you. This is a battle drum. Now your fight is not against flesh and blood, but still many times the greatest enemy you have is not out there, but it's in yourself. Your greatest enemy many times are the fear and the blockages in your life that limits you and that hinders you to really do and go out and do what God has purposed for your life. I believe all of us should stand up right now. Just stand up on your feet. Just close your eyes. Just think right now. Just spend just a second. And think about what is the greatest obstacle in your life. What is the situation, the circumstance that is constantly holding your back and that you're constantly are thinking about, praying about, asking God to solve? All of us have circumstances and things like that. Now just look at it, just for a moment. And just determine in your heart that right now, you declare war. Right now, you declare war against that circumstance, against that weakness, against that fear, against that obstacle. You declare war. A soldier, one of the things a soldier are called to do is to do warfare. Now we are not talking about ridiculous warfare. We are not looking for demons in everything that moves around. But the greatest warfare many times is inside of us. It's in our souls, in our worries, in our fears. I want you to say like this. Jesus. Just shout it. Jesus. You are a mighty warrior. You live in me. I am a warrior. I declare war. I declare war against weakness in my life, against the obstacles in my life, against the fears in my life, against whatever is holding me back to become what God wants me to become and to do what God wants me to do, to change this world, to win this world for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, just lift both hands to heaven.
Holy Spirit, fire of God, I just pray right now that you will sweep over this building right now with this hall. I release in the name of Jesus Christ. I release freedom. I release authority. I release in the name of Jesus. I release the anointing to break you yokes here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing. I speak deliverance. I speak restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for breakthrough in family situations. I pray for breakthroughs. I pray for breakthroughs, financial breakthroughs, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the harvest here in Scarborough. I thank you for a new building here in Scarborough. I thank you, Father, for expansion, for multiplication. I bless this body with multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give Jesus a big hand. Let's give Jesus a big hand.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.